Well, that's been great singing this afternoon. I don't know how many of you have sung O Come All Ye Faithful with that shepherd's verse in. I'm not sure the choir were quite ready for that verse either. But thank you for all bearing with us on that extra one. I'm just going to share a Christmas message with you before we have our final carol and then have some mince pies and refreshments together. A couple of years ago, one national newspaper ran an article at Christmas and it had this headline, "'Tis the season to get angry." It was all about how to avoid family fights at Christmas. Picture on the screen is what I guess we hope Christmas might look like. Something like that anyway. For you, maybe minus a few of the Christmas jumpers and a few of the silly headwear, but basically we hope we'll get on like that. And unfortunately, here's the reality. This is a bit more like what it normally is. I'm sure that's a scene from EastEnders. The article said that the same arguments come round regularly. So the article was saying that, well, with a little bit of planning and a few deep breaths, it said you could avoid some of these frequent arguments. I wonder if you recognise any of these recurring tensions from your family. There was the, do you call that a job, argument? Normally started by an older relative who is somewhat critical of what you're doing with your life. Or it might be the, would it kill you to hurt a little bit more, argument. The kind of frustration that gets caused by those family members who always slip off to the bathroom just when it comes down to the washing up. Or what about that, no, I don't want to play Monopoly disagreement. That one comes from the competitive members of the family who are desperate to play Boggle instead because they always win at that. The article gave various hints and tips on what to do, how to stay patient, how to decide when to let somebody get their own way, how to keep in people's good books by complimenting all the hard work they were doing over Christmas. I wonder if you recognise any of those tensions in your family. Getting the family together at Christmas contains a few challenges, doesn't it? In the Christmas film National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, the main character, Clark Griswold, is alarmed when his somewhat high-maintenance cousin, Eddie, arrives unannounced for the Christmas holidays. Eddie is very lovable, but his life is a bit of a car crash. And it's obvious that Clark finds him very difficult to like. And that's obvious when at one point he says, well, Eddie, can I refill your eggnog for you? Can I get you something to eat? Can I take you out to the middle of nowhere and leave you for dead? Now, the line is painfully funny because I'm sure some of us can relate to it with at least one of our relatives, maybe a few of them. So Christmas should be a time of goodwill and peace. And yet peace seems impossible with some of our family, the people who know us really well and so know just how to press our buttons. Where particularly with close family, with brothers and sisters, those of us who are adult now often revert to being what we were when we were 12 or 13 when we get together with them. Why is that? Well, we'd like to put the blame on everybody else, wouldn't we? That's normally the reason for the conflict. It's their fault. If they were a bit less of a pain in the neck, then things would be so much easier. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we're part of the problem. At the beginning of the 20th century, the editors of the Times wrote to a number of different famous authors, and they were all asked to contribute an article under the theme, "What's Wrong with the World?" G.K. Chesterton's up on the screen now. He was one of those famous authors, and he replied with the response, "Dear sirs, I am sincerely yours, G.K. Chesterton." There's an honest man, brave enough to admit that what's wrong is not just everybody else, but it's me. So how do we get peace? We'd all love peace, but it's so hard because of what we're all like. Well, peace is what the original Christmas choir sang about. We've had a great Christmas choir this evening, and Christmas choirs go back to the very first Christmas. We heard about them in our last Bible reading. Some of these guys next to me have angelic voices, but on the first Christmas, literally, it was angels singing on a hillside outside Bethlehem. And let me remind you of one of the lyrics. "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests. On earth, peace." That's what the angel said the coming of the baby, the birth of Jesus, would be connected to, peace. And yet peace isn't what we see, is it, when we look out onto our world? We see conflict. We've prayed tonight for war-torn parts of our world, for Syria or Yemen. The pictures on our screens are appalling. We don't really seem to be any closer to peace 2,000 years on from that very first Christmas. We long for peace, and yet we can't manage it. Because as Chesterton said, the problem is not just with the world. The problem is you and me. Problem is, we want things done our way, don't we? We think the only way that we can be happy is to be in charge, for life to revolve around me. Even those of us, I think, who like to think that we are kind and generous to others, if we're honest with ourselves, it's so that we feel at peace, so that life is working as we want it to. We want to be at the centre. We want to be the most important thing in our lives. But frankly, we weren't made for that. We were designed to live under the freedom of having God at the centre of our lives rather than ourselves. It is our self-centeredness, our preoccupation with ourselves that means we struggle to find peace on earth, but also that there's no peace with God. So what do we do about that? Well, the first Christmas message was peace. Peace to those on whom his favour rests. Jesus Christ was born to bring peace. God has stepped into our world to do something, to bring peace by dealing with all the stuff that we put in the way of God, all the stuff that messes up relationships with other people. You see, Jesus didn't just come to model peace, but he came to make peace. Because the baby went from a wooden cradle to a man on a wooden cross. And there he died, suspended between heaven and earth. He died to deal with our self-centeredness, the way that we've replaced God with ourselves. Jesus came to be a peacemaker, not by giving us tips on how to survive family Christmas, but by taking away all the hostility between ourselves and God. That's what he was about. That's why the angels described him as a saviour. But if that's the case, well, how does that peace come to us? How can we receive that peace? The Christmas film Home Alone is one of my favourite Christmas films. Kevin McAllister, age 8, has been left home by mistake by his family. And if you've seen the film, you'll know he has an absolute whale of a time looking after himself through the few days without his family. But one evening, he's missing the family a little bit more and he goes into church and there's another choir singing. And he meets his scary neighbour, pictured there on the screen, who always carries a snow shovel, and there are lots of rumours about him. Well, it turns out the neighbour is not quite as scary after all. But as they get talking together, it turns out the old man hasn't spoken to his son in years. They've had a row, they both lost their tempers, and they hadn't spoken to one another since. But it's clear the old man misses his son. Kevin asks, if you miss him, why don't you call him? And the old neighbour says, I'm afraid if I call, he won't talk to me. And Kevin, age 8, wisely encourages him to, well, give it a shot and call, even if you're afraid of what will happen. Guys, God has done everything necessary for there to be peace by sending Jesus to live and to die for us. And now all you have to do is call to him, speak to him. Speak to God. Confess that you've messed up. Admit that you've lived life without him. And you don't need to be afraid that if you call, he's not going to talk to you. We're going to sing in our closing carol that through Jesus, God and sinners are reconciled. See, God didn't come to make peace with people who were mostly good or almost good, or the people who tried really hard. But he came to make peace with sinners, people just like you and me, who've lived away from God, but who want to know peace with him. And when we're at peace with God, then peace with others, a willingness to love others, even when they're annoying, to forgive, to be offended less quickly, all flows from knowing that we're at peace with the God who made us. Well, I do hope that you will know and enjoy a peaceful Christmas, that you will enjoy time with friends and family. But my biggest hope for you is that you'll know that because you've got peace with God. Over our Christmas services, we've been giving away this small book, A Very Different Christmas. And if you're a guest here tonight, if this is the first time you've been or you don't normally come to this church, we'd love you to take one as you leave. There's a table outside in the entrance. Grab one from there, or I'll be out in the foyer too, and I'll have some with me. It just explains a little bit more about what God has done to bring peace and how we can know a restored relationship with God. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. We're going to stand now and sing together our last carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So why don't we all stand ready to sing that?